Hello, people. Welcome back. This week was the first week we recorded from the amazing Corktown location at the Plymouth Rock Recording Studio. Exciting things are happening. So I'm here doing this podcast because it feels great to connect with new people and learn interesting things. Like this week, I got the pleasure of speaking with Brittany Gatehouse. Brittany is an Instagram influencer and holds an impressive follower count of close to 70,000 people. That might seem like a silly metric to be focused on, but if you're on social media, you know it's something we're all cognizant of. I think a lot of us tend to think of money when we talk about raw numbers, but the way I like to kind of put her follower count into perspective is like this. The DTE Music Energy Theater holds a maximum of over 15,000 people. Have you guys ever seen how many people are at a full concert? It's a lot. Now multiply that by four. Now, I know that there's celebrities out there with millions of followers, but really take a second just to imagine all those people seeing everything you post. It's kind of a scary thought, right? Or it can also be empowering. Nevertheless, my interview with Brittany was a lot of fun. She was super sweet and patient enough to deal with my stupid questions. I really do appreciate Brittany's beginnings because, as she states right in the beginning, she started this journey just to keep herself accountable for her weight loss and eventually gained a larger and larger following. So in a sense, she's kind of the accidental influencer. Brittany was also cool because she hung out afterwards with me, my wife, and my sound engineer Eric for a good hour and a half and talked further. All right, guys. Well, thanks as always for tuning in. And without further ado, here's Brittany. Here we go. Brittany Gatehouse, thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get to cheers. I know you love wine, and we're drinking a very nice glass this morning. It's 12 o'clock. I always like day drinking, you know what I mean? It kind of like ruins the rest of my day, but I appreciate you coming on. Thanks.
I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So you're clearly an Instagram influencer, and I want to know, what did they refer to you before that? Was it just like Instagram model? Was it Instagram celebrity? Was it like Instagram chef?
I'm not sure. It kind of happened on accident, honestly. I started the account just to have accountability for myself and follow a bunch of fitness accounts that were similar to mine without bogging down my actual Instagram account. And then I just started getting followers. So I never really thought about what it was called, and then the term influencer started being thrown around. It's like, well,
how long ago was this that your journey started?
That was back in 2016.
Wow.
January 2016.
Awesome. And over time, you just gained and amassed more and more followers. The word is getting out. You got to post more. That's
yeah, so pretty much.
Did you find, like, do you know or did you get a feeling for how much of that was based upon your diet and motivating people? Because you lost a substantial amount of weight. Mm-hmm. How much did you lose, if you don't mind saying?
It was about 20 pounds.
That's good. That's great.
I'm only 5'3", so on my height, it looked like a lot.
I totally get it because I know it's harder for women to lose weight typically. Mm-hmm. You know, dudes, you know, we can run for a month and drop weight too, you know. Yeah. But I think what's awesome about what you did is that you not only lost weight, but you did it at a time. I mean, it started in 2016, but it continued through a time last year through COVID where I think it provided an inspiration for a lot of people. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I get a lot of messages saying that my account helped people and helped keep them motivated. I get those a lot. It always feels good to know that it's helping people. It's not just keeping me accountable. But.
And it's almost like you can't let them down, you know?
Yeah.
So speaking of messages, I needed to know, how many creepy messages have you gotten from dudes?
I get this question a lot, but it's surprisingly almost none.
Really?
So Instagram shows you your insights, and when I look at my insights, my percentages between male and female it's never fallen under 96% female.
You can look at those analytics?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's almost exclusively females following me, and then, I mean, I might get a weird message once in a while, but it's pretty infrequent compared to the positive messages that I get from women.
All right. I'm surprised you haven't been bombarded by dick pics.
I think a lot of people are surprised by that.
Dudes are creeps, man.
I know guys
man.
I talk to are always like, oh, you probably get a ton of creepy messages.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I really don't.
Well, like, when did that become a thing? Like, come on, guys. Don't do that. But through your progression, I mean, I think it's great because, again, I said in my message to you, you know, really looking into your Instagram and how it evolved, that you really do provide, you know, some positivity in a world that's gone really negative. And, you know, you're in this interesting world being an influencer. And so does that kind of screw with your mind a little bit? Because now you do have a platform and you have some responsibility that comes with that.
Yeah, that part has been interesting to navigate because it started out as just a thing to hold me accountable. I posted whatever I wanted, low quality pictures, just posted anything, put it up there. Now I feel like I have to think about it a lot more. You're supposed to be posting every day and providing quality content.
Is there some exhaustion that comes with that?
Yeah, sometimes I get burnout, especially because I do work a normal
sure
8-to-5 job. So then balancing that on top of it, especially when you're working with brands or trying to create content, it feels like I'm just nonstop.
That's
working almost like I have two different jobs.
You're right. It's like not only two different jobs, but two different lives, you know? It's
yeah.
Like you have like an alter ego. So that's an interesting point. So do your bosses or your coworkers know that you're that person?
I did a really good job of hiding the account for the first, I would say, like 4 years. And then just the past year, they did find out. I got called into the human resources office and just got asked questions about it.
Sure.
Ultimately, they said it was fine, but it's always uncomfortable. Some people do view it as, I mean, I view it as, I guess, motivating. I would never post anything that I wouldn't let my dad see. My parents follow my account.
It's not provocative.
No, but some people do view it that way.
People suck, though. People are haters, man. You know, it's like, what's your problem? Like, can you imagine the person that went into HR and tattled on you? Like, I got something to tell you about Brittany. And it's like, dude, F you, you know?
I know. That part is the thing that bothered me more than anything, is knowing that someone cared enough to somehow find the account and then
which means there were some creepsers out there stalking you down. But you'd be surprised that, you know, it could have been just some hater, you know, woman, you know, coworker, just like, I'm gonna tattle on her.
It actually was a guy.
Really?
It was, yes.
Really? Did you have words with him?
No.
Like, dude, come on, man. Why do you got to blow my spot?
I just never brought it up again.
Yeah.
But
it sucks that you can't filter certain people from searching almost, you know?
I know. I don't have my last name linked to that account.
Okay.
So
I just screwed up by introducing you by your full name.
No, not at all. I'm not worried about that anymore.
Okay, cool.
I don't post anything that bothers me. So I'm more to the point that if anyone has a problem with it, I would.
I kind of get the sense, though, looking at your handle, what it was on Instagram, and then how it's transformed into your first and last name, which is essentially your brand, your business. And I notice it seems like it's shifting towards that business mind. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It started out very geared towards the first workout program that I started. And then as my contents evolved, I realized that I needed to change that and shouldn't brand myself solely on that workout program.
Right. So let's talk about the workout program. So you're doing Kayla, right?
I did that for almost 4 years exclusively. So that's how I lost the
so
initial weight.
What's her last name, by the way, guys? Do you know?
It's Cines.
It's Cines? Isn't mm-hmm. she Australian?
Yes, she is.
You know, my wife tried to get me to do it, and I got through like half a workout. I'm like, I'm dead. I can't do this. I don't think those workouts were made for like really big dudes. You know what I mean?
They're difficult workouts. There's a lot of jumping and.
But the diet is important too. And I'm kind of going through this thing myself where I've done keto since like March 1st, you know, as of this morning, I've lost, you know, a good amount of weight. So I'm very proud of that. But as much as I hate to realize it, I mean, I think eating better is actually harder than working out.
I would completely agree with that. Changing my diet, my nutrition was a huge part of it as well. And it was hard to realize that I started losing weight just from working out. And then I realized when I hit a plateau that I had to change something because I was eating healthy essentially Monday through Thursday and then not on the weekends. And when I stopped making progress, I was like, well, that is only, you know, that's almost 50% of the time. So I'm only eating healthy 50% of the time and then ruining it on the weekends.
Yeah, sure. So what is your program? Are you counting calories? Are you keeping it low carb? Are you doing carnivore and eating all meat?
No, I don't follow any specific program like that. I don't cut any food group out.
God, I hate you.
Well, I think it's too hard. I think if you cut a certain anything out that you don't need to, that it just creates restrictions and you end up eating more later.
Sure, that makes sense. I like the keto actually because it's high fat. Basically, your body is creating the machinery that can burn fat, because if you're constantly taking in carbs and breads and pastas and just sugar in general, even if it comes from fruit, it sends a signal to your body that, okay, we're going to get a constant intake of this, so we don't need to burn our fat reserves. That's pretty much what I learned. I realized too that like by going through one of these diets, and it sounds like, you know, you got the perfect plan because you're not cutting anything out. But, you know, I realized that when you make the food is kind of the reward. Like you become cognizant of healthy food choices and, you know, I'll eat breakfast now and I'll eat a tomato with it. You know, as small as that sounds, you know, that food is an investment in yourself, which is cool.
Yeah, I agree with that. When I started getting more into nutrition, I realized that how important the micronutrients are and incorporating vegetables.
Yeah.
And that was something I had never really done before. I was never a picky eater, but I never actively made choices to incorporate different vegetables or different micronutrients. I never paid attention to that part of it.
Right.
I had in the past just calorie counted, and it, like in college, well, if I ate 5 granola bars, but it was under my calorie count for the day, fine, that was a win.
Yeah, sure. So what was that moment of disgust for you? Because we all have that moment where you look at yourself in the mirror or you binge eat a pizza, you know, and you're just like, God, I hate myself. And I mean, certainly I've gone through that. So curious to know.
I don't know if I ever had a moment like that. I actually didn't really realize that I was gaining the weight. I had always been relatively small in college. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really afford to eat a bunch of bad food.
Sure.
So I didn't have to really watch what I ate, even if I didn't work out. And then I started
it's good to be young.
A desk job. And that's when I gained the weight in a pretty short period of time.
Did you ever gain the freshman 15?
Think so.
I start drinking a lot more, so yeah, I mean, for me, I don't know about 15, but definitely a couple of pounds for sure. So yeah, I just think that, you know, that weight gain can creep. You know, I heard this stat that during quarantine, during this damn pandemic, that every 10 days people would gain a half pound on the average, which is insane. And I think for me it was more. I felt like it was like 1 pound because I gained a good amount.
Yeah, I think that would be really easy to do. They say that 3,500 calories is a pound. So if you ate 500 calories more than you were burning for a week, that's a pound right there. I would say that probably happened to
a lot of
people during quarantine.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
I mean, my weight fluctuated during quarantine a bit too. It was hard to adjust to having a gym to go to and trying to motivate yourself to go back to home workouts.
Sure. Yeah, I bet. I mean, I just went right to drinking. I mean, it's funny, but it's not like you have all this time to better yourself and then you don't. It's interesting how we complain about the things that we don't have time for. And then when we have the time to do it, we won't do it. It's like, we're idiots, right?
Yeah, that is really true. I'm guilty of that too.
Yeah, we're self-sabotaging in a way. And so I think booze is a big one. I think if you really want to trim down, you know, you got to stop drinking. But yeah, it's really tough. Weight creeps up. So now that you have this massive following online and you're posting photos of yourself, which is, it's got to feel incredibly intrusive in a sense. But at the same time, you're putting yourself out there. But what I'm coming around to is, are you psycho about like keeping your weight down? And you're like, oh my God, I ate that, you know, mashed potatoes at dinner. You know, I got to go run 5 miles.
No, not at all. Actually, I usually share with the community that follows me if my weight fluctuates, if I gain weight that way, because it happens to everyone. I think even fitness professionals, their weight has to fluctuate too.
Sure.
So I think that that's more relatable. And I think it's good to show people that if your weight fluctuates, it's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean that you need to give up on your workout program or your diet. You can keep going, stick to it.
Tell me about some of these positive messages you've gotten from some of the women.
Oh, it's hard to pick specific ones, but
on the overall positive though.
Yeah, there's a lot that really, they're really touching, and it amazes me every time that my account somehow changed someone's life that much or motivated them to start working out again. Yeah.
That's nuts, because if you make an impact with one person, it feels like a win, you know, but when you have a lot of people that are looking at you, that's a great platform. So I find it interesting that some people will look at a profile, and I hate to say it, including myself, I'll look at an influencer and I'll be like, oh, you know, they're so fake, or, you know, they're posing with this product. But at the same time, like we were talking about, you do a lot of good. Like, there is a place in this whole soup of what everybody's doing for people like yourself to show new fashion, to lose weight, and to throw it out there and be like, this is me.
Yeah, that's a hard one, because I think people, or maybe people don't realize, I know a lot of my followers are always surprised if I post something about work, and then I get a lot of messages like, wait, you have a job too? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are under the impression that somehow you get, if you have a large following on Instagram, that you just get paid, and that's not the case. You put hours and hours into creating content that you don't make any money off of, in hopes that there's brands that will fit in with your content.
Welcome
organically.
To my world. Well, you've been there, exactly. So a lot of work.
Very
right?
Similar to podcasts.
But that's where the passion comes in, and that's where like that relentless drive. I've heard a good tip to being successful in whatever your endeavor is just that you just keep going. You know, even if nobody's watching. You know, it's one of those things that you just got to do, and you got to have that burning desire to do it, right?
Yeah.
So let's go into psychology a little bit about, you know, what you're doing. You know, let's talk about the weight loss first, and then what it means to have that platform. I know we touched on it a little bit, but when you decide, you know, I want to better myself, how do people respond to you? You know, do people just, they give you little jabs? And I'll let you answer, and I'll justify why I ask that.
Well, I kept it hidden from almost everyone. I told my best friend that was doing the program too, but I didn't tell anyone else about the account for a really long time.
Did you kind of like that? Was there something sneaky about that? Or?
Yeah, it was nice. I could post whatever I wanted without worrying about, I guess, people that knew me judging it or...
So you felt a sense of freedom.
Yeah. And then eventually I got to the point where I just didn't care if people found out. But right. I remember I was dating someone, this was probably like 2 or 3 years into having the account, and I hadn't told him about the account.
Ooh.
And finally he was like, you're so shady. Why do you hide your phone? Like, you exit out of things every time I'm around. And I had to admit that I had a secret Instagram account.
Yeah, it's not a good look. I'm not going to lie. That'll make any dude go crazy.
Right. I wasn't texting guys behind his back. I just had a secret Instagram account.
Yeah. But I was just letting tens of thousands of other people, you know, check me out.
Yeah.
So let me ask you then. So why didn't you tell him?
Honestly, I was embarrassed. I didn't know how people would react. Now it seems like everyone is so much more accepting to influencers and it's more the norm. But when I first started, it wasn't, I felt like it wasn't the norm. People weren't used to it. So I wasn't sure how they would react.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I get it. And now that you have amassed a following, I keep using that expression, but you know, you certainly do have a lot of people following you. Do you still feel insecurity? Because we all do.
I mean, yeah, once in a while, but not as much about what I post. I kind of just remind myself that if they're following me, they're interested in what I'm posting. And if they unfollow me or I lose followers, then my content just wasn't the right fit for them.
So what's the goal for you in terms of numbers or getting your brand out there? Or because I notice you're kind of diversifying too. You're doing cooking. You're throwing some photos of food out there. Is it a cookbook? Is, you know, what is that?
I actually don't have any set goal for that right now. I do get a lot of requests for a cookbook, but I classify my food as good for healthy food.
I don't know. I was totally going to call you out on this because I was looking at your previous photos and I saw pictures of pasta in there. And I was like, there is no way you're eating that and you're getting lean as you are. You know?
No, that's what I mean. I don't cut out pasta, carbs.
So basically you've just amped up your metabolism so high that you're like, I'm going to eat what I want, but within reason.
Well, and I'm careful with the recipes that I create, like the portions and making the sauces or certain things healthier. Mm-hmm. So you can make the same thing with almost half the calories.
Right. Or just don't eat as much. Yeah. I mean, I had a breakfast this morning and I'm just like, I can't finish it. And I was actually pretty proud of myself. You know, it's like, how much can you get away? Not how much can you get away with, but how little can you get away with? Right. So for people out there, changing gears here a little bit, that are creatives, that are podcasters, that want to be influencers themselves, what is that key to getting that spark of a following? And also, what is that threshold before you can monetize?
I think the key is to just post content that's true to you. Post what makes you happy, what content, creating content that you want to create, and then don't worry about getting the following or monetizing it right away. I don't think that there's a threshold as far as monetizing it goes anymore. I've seen people with 2,000 followers monetizing their content. I think it's more about the quality.
Sure.
A lot of brands are actually gearing their campaigns towards micro-influencers now, because sometimes they can have more of an influence than
the larger
accounts.
You know, on the contrary, though, I actually read an article just this morning that was like, okay, if you want to monetize, the biggest mistake you make is doing it too early. And there is that distinction of being a micro influencer. I think there's a nano influencer too. And they said, you know, you want to essentially romance your audience, right? So you want them to get to know you. You want your content to be authentic, evergreen, which is a term I just learned recently, so it ages well. But, I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think it depends on what the content is that you're being paid for. If it fits seamlessly into your content, mm-hmm. I think that that's different than posing with a bottle of something that your audience isn't interested in.
Sure.
Like an active where, like if Lululemon wanted to partner with me really early on. They didn't, but if they would have,
and they should have,
that would have fit seamlessly. I wouldn't have had any hesitation about posting paid content early on. Mm-hmm. But I actually didn't have my first paid post until I think 4 years in.
Really?
Because the brands that wanted to partner early on, it just didn't feel right to me.
Right.
And I hadn't done my homework. I didn't do enough research to know whether or not I should or shouldn't. I just knew that it felt wrong to me.
Yeah.
It felt like it was something gross. I wouldn't use and just inauthentic.
Yeah, right.
So I always said no just based on that.
So would these people come to you or would you seek them out?
They would come to me.
Wow, good for you. You know, I'm probably going to have to be the opposite and go out there and knock on doors.
That's something that I need to get better at. I actually don't. I just feel like I don't have the time between my actual job and then trying to create content to reach out to a bunch of different brands. But that is something I need to get better at.
You get an agent and you get after it. So
I could do that.
You did?
No, I said I could do that.
It's like, I'm sorry. So is the goal to do this full time?
Maybe eventually.
Mm-hmm.
If I got to a point where it was a very steady brand deals coming in, long-term partnerships, I would consider it.
Right.
But ultimately, I just feel like I worked so hard in my career path to get where I am that I don't know when or if I would ever be ready to give that up.
Yeah.
Just based on all of the hard work I put in.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. And it is nice having the other one because it does provide a safety net, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it does pay the bills and you know, the rent or whatever, the mortgage. Man, that is interesting just to think about that. What are some of these kind of unexpected lessons that you learned from like operating on Instagram? I learned that, you know, looking at other profiles, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but you'll see profiles that mysteriously have a lot more followers than they're following. And I mean, certainly you don't need to, you know, follow 70,000 other people, but I noticed then what they'll do is they'll go back and they'll unfollow all those people that they're following. So it provides more of a balance in the numbers.
I have heard that people, that is a tactic to get more followers, is to go through and follow a ton of people in mm-hmm. hopes that they follow back.
Right.
And then unfollow them later. I personally have never used that tactic, but I feel like it wouldn't work for very long.
Yeah,
what are
right.
the odds that someone you follow just automatically follows you back?
Yeah, exactly.
But it must work to a certain extent if people use it.
Right.
I think there's also followers out there that are botten.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that gross? Isn't that a gross thing? And I heard it does translate because you'll post something and, oh, okay, you have 500,000 followers, but only 20 people like your post, right?
Yeah. So. And brands notice that and they're starting to look at impressions or engagement on your posts as opposed mm-hmm. to just your follower count.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's kind of gross, to be honest. But I have a question about space and time that you're in right now doing what you're doing. So you're putting material out there, but when it comes to getting older, right? Like you're young, you're putting out content that people are responding to, and that's great. But when you look at like the longevity of being an influencer and putting your photos out there, do you see that staying power in being an influencer?
I guess I'm not sure. That's one of the hesitations I would have about going full time with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is you would almost have to have a business plan or a plan to do something else with it instead of just paid collaborations. But I do think that there are plenty of influencers at every age.
Right. And I would, you know, being in your position, see those people as competition and being like, okay, how do I stay relevant? You know, screw her. And, you know, now they become your competition and you're like, you know, you got to keep up with fashion and makeup. And I'd imagine it's gotta be pretty tough. Yeah.
Well, I've actually never, I've never really looked at similar influencers as competition. I think it's better to work together. There's been times where I don't want a certain brand deal, but I recommend other local girls for it, or
that's cool.
Or brands will ask if you have anyone that they want to work with you, but they want two more influencers in the fitness sector or whichever niche they're in. And I have girls I recommend.
Cool. It's very nice of you.
It's nice to have the community feel.
Okay. Cool. Well, I feel like we've gotten to know you pretty well, and we've gotten to know, you know, what you do and your mindset of all this. And I think, again, just to reiterate that I love what you're doing. My wife turned me on to you and was like, you know, you gotta check her out. You gotta follow what she's doing, because you do throw those before and after photos out there. You do provide inspiration. Like I said, during a time where it's chaos, right? It's very tough. But I want to wind down, and I want to ask you a couple like last standard questions that I ask all my guests. So we're in Detroit. We're in Corktown, in this great city of Detroit. You live down here. I'll just put it that, right? You
do, correct? Yeah, I live downtown.
What does this whole city mean to you?
I love the city of Detroit. I grew up in a very small town in Michigan, so I had actually never been to a Tigers game,
no way.
Downtown Detroit, any of it, until I had graduated college.
Are you a Youper?
No, middle of Michigan.
Okay, cool.
Near the Mount Pleasant, Clare area.
Cool.
So I fell in love with Detroit the first time I came downtown for dinner at the Renaissance Center, and ended up getting a job at Chrysler, moving down here.
Wow.
I've loved it ever since.
Wow. Have you lived in the city for a long time?
I've lived in the city for almost 2 years now.
Okay. That's great. It's a cool time to be down here, right?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I mean, my impression of Detroit and hearing other people talk about it is just that it's a giant city, but it feels like a small town. You know, there isn't a ton of foot traffic on the streets. You know, a lot of the local businesses seem to know each other pretty well. So I think there is kind of like a cool network down here. There's like a cool vibe, a cool like yoke is a term that I like to use. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think there's a really good sense of community, especially living downtown. I've made quite a few friends.
Cool. Where do you like to hang? You just throw one out there. In normal times.
In normal times?
Or restaurant. Doesn't need to be a bar.
Restaurant we used to go to. Well, bar we used to go to Brakeman a lot.
Brakeman's sweet.
Before.
That chicken place in the back. Before the pandemic. Awesome.
Yes, Penny Red's.
Oh my God.
They're still open for takeout.
Really?
Yeah.
They got some biscuits that are just on fire. This is why I had to lose weight. But okay, so last but not least, the music question. Tell me what you got. What are you listening to? What are some of your favorites?
So this surprises most people, but I actually listen to a lot of country.
All right.
My favorite right now is probably Matt Stahl.
Never heard of him.
He's newer, but I really like his music.
Yeah?
Yep.
How do you spell his last name? I'll check him out.
S-T-E-L-L.
That's it? Pretty simple, yep. Just how it sounds? Awesome. Did you ever go to like this country music festival that they would have at like Hart Plaza?
Which one?
I don't
that?
Know. I don't know the name of it, but because I never go because I don't like country.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't know there was a couple. I thought there was just one big one down at Hart Plaza.
I'm not sure. I've never been to that
that's
one.
That's a no.
That's
in
a
other
no.
Words.
Okay. At first, I thought you were referring to Faster Horses, and I was like, no.
Faster
that's
Horses,
not really
I heard,
my
is insane.
I've heard it is too. I'm just not sure I would have a good time there.
It just sounds just kind of like dirty, you know, just tens of thousands of people. But I've been to Mopop. I've been to Mopop a couple years in a row, and it's a great time. But man, it gets dusty out there. I think they're moving the location. I'm going to be speaking with Michelle Hodges, who's the CEO of the Belle Isle Conservancy, and I'm going to ask her, like, why don't you put a music festival on that island? It would be amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that could
plenty
be.
Plenty of room, right? As long as idiots aren't going for a swim in the river at night, right?
Yeah.
There could be. You never know. So that's cool. So you got a big cowboy hat at home with some boots, big belt buckle. Yeah?
I don't.
All right. Well, Brittany, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you indulging my questions, and keep doing good stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Where can we find you? Your Instagram.
Oh, it is.
You're like, I don't want people to find me.
It's Brittany Ray Today.
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot. Have a good one. Bye, folks.